Today's featured member of Spanish history, women in Spanish history, went by a name that might sound immensely famous to many people in Madrid and even some visitors looking for a good place to get some good tapas. We are talking about La Latina. Now that sort of sounds like a Spanish version of the trendy Paris neighborhood, the Latin Quarter, or maybe the words Latino or Latina are often associated with the former Spanish territories in America, so you might think it had something to do with that. That would have been normal. But believe it or not, this is a very old neighborhood, and its name comes from a very unlikely source, but a source I think you will find very interesting to learn about. So let me share this with you. La Latina is a reference to a woman named Beatriz Galindo. Beatriz is the Spanish version of Beatrix. And for years, she was considered to be the famous private tutor of Isabella the Catholic, the queen, and her children, especially her daughters. That would have been an extraordinary feat at a difficult time for women to excel in. And it was her knowledge of Latin, as she was basically fluent in it, that was so great that she went by the name La Latina. It was her nickname. And the story goes that the district, or this neighborhood, was named after her. Now, is all of this true? Well, you should know by now that basically my answer is often yes and no, and that's the case here. And it's yes and no on a number of accounts. As you know, we at Brian's Spain Domain like to be historically as accurate as possible, and sometimes that may mean debunking certain myths considered to be common knowledge, a common knowledge even by me for many years. So let's take a look at this story. First of all, who was this Beatriz Galindo? Galindo was born in 1465, more or less. That's what they believe. They're not 100% sure. In the city of Salamanca, and that's the place where the famous university is. She was born into a family of lower nobility. These were called hidalgos, which comes from hijo de algo, like son of something. And it's a reference to a family that had certain importance, but it wasn't high nobility by any stretch of the imagination. Now, her place in line amongst her brothers and sisters made her a natural candidate for entering a convent, which in those years was a common option for younger siblings, as much a profession as a vocation. And so Beatriz was most likely being trained to be a nun, and if she learned Latin well enough, well, maybe the family could save on classes in Latin in the convent. And it soon became clear that she was especially gifted in languages, and was able to use it almost fluently. Apparently, she became so well known that she joined the court, or was invited to join Isabella's court in the middle of the 1480s, and she became a part of Isabel's support team, mainly a chambermaid. Now, tradition has it that she was the queen's personal Latin teacher and the private tutor of her daughters, among whom included Catherine of Aragon, Henry VIII's first wife. And some even credit her with both studying and teaching at the University of Salamanca, but there is no evidence to back that claim up. Anyway, she was learned, well-versed, and well-liked by the queen. She was also very religious, another point in her favor, and they would pray together. This closeness, this relationship between Beatriz and Isabella possibly led to Beatriz becoming sort of an informal advisor to Isabella. And so there was a strong bond. Now, eventually the queen decided it was time for Beatriz to marry. She found a suitable husband for her, an artillery officer named Fernando Ramírez. He was one of the most trusted members of the court. The queen prepared a dowry for her, gave her fine clothes, and married her off in 1491, just a few weeks before the fall of Granada. Now, the couple would have two sons together, but their successful marriage would be short-lived. Ramirez would die in action during fighting with the Muslims near present-day Marbella. The Muslims who stayed in Spain after the loss of Granada often clashed with the new Christian occupiers during those years. They were bloody and costly affairs, and it took the life of Ramirez in 1501. But before his death, he and Beatriz had begun to devote some of their efforts to charity. In 1499, they founded a hospital in Madrid, known as the Hospital of the Conception of Our Lady. 10 years later, a convent was founded next door, known as the Convento, the Convent de la Concepción Jerónima. In 1512, it was taken over by nuns from the Order of Saint Jerome. Both the hospital and the convent would become popularly known as La Latina, in reference to Beatriz Galindo, who was one of the main founders and administrators there. So we can see where this is starting to go. The hospital served both clergy members as well as the secular population for centuries. Then during the 18th century, it was closed, or toward the end of the 18th century, but it was reopened as a military hospital during the Peninsular War, which you may recall was when the French under Napoleon occupied most of Spain. We are talking between the years 1808 and 1814, I believe. And the hospital stayed that way as a military hospital, that status, for many decades, but eventually fell into disrepair and was torn down in 1901. The convent was also pulled down around that same time. Almost immediately afterwards, a new community was built there in the convent of La Concepción Franciscana, the Franciscan Conception. It was completed in 1907. The architectural style there was purposely used to make it look older than it really is, and it's still there. And whatever happened to these buildings? Is there anything left? They were destroyed, they were torn down, but believe it or not, there are still two remains of the original hospital. One is the entrance, the stone entrance, the puerta, and that has been taken to the School of Architecture at the University Complutense in Madrid. It's outside the building. You can see it there, as well as a balustrade, which is a sort of a railing for a stairway. In this case, a very ornamental one. It was Gothic and very pretty, very ornate, and that was saved and is now located in one of the buildings at the Royal Academy of Moral and Political Sciences in the Plaza de la Villa in the center of Madrid. So those two items were saved from destruction. And so any of you who are curious to see these things, now you know where you can find them. Beatriz continued to work for Queen Isabella until the Queen's death in 1504. While she may have been a close friend of the Queen's, or so some say, she still was entrusted with some pretty unsophisticated tasks, like having to accompany three pack horses or beasts of burden from Segovia to Medina. She did, however, form a part of Isabella's entourage when the deceased queen's body was taken to Granada for burial. So she was certainly one of the important figures in that close inner circle of Isabella's friends and advisors. After that, Beatriz's influence and role in the court began to wane, and she began to live a life that was closer to that of a nun. And she also worked on social and spiritual work and charitable work. Both of her sons died before her, unfortunately, in the 1520s. So she survived them, and that had an impact on her emotional state. As she herself died in Madrid in 1535, her body is buried in the convent of the Franciscan Conception. And from there, the facts surrounding her life began to take some twists and turns. Over the century, her bio grew and grew into something larger than life. By the 20th century, she had become a kind of major figure in the history of education in this country and a major figure for women and education, with some scholars citing that she had personally educated up to five queens, that is, Isabella and her daughters, and some even said that she had taught at the University of Salamanca. As she became so fashionable that a major high school in Madrid is named after her. There are statues and plaques in honor of her found all over the country. And even an airplane from Iberia was christened with her name. So she became very popular in the last 40 years. Now, what happened between her real life and this sort of larger-than-life image that people have of her? Well, this narrative all started when Gonzalo Fernández de Oviedo, one of the most important historians of the 16th century, referred to her as the queen's personal tutor. And that reference became a kind of unrefuted fact that only got more exaggerated with time. We seem to be before a case of a historian reporting on a fact which no one bothered to fact check for nearly 500 years. And so it became kind of a given. Then other writers would mention her based on what Oviedo had said. And so this story just, you know, snowballed. But apparently, other than Oviedo's comment, which came sort of out of nowhere late in his life, and is suspect of inaccuracy. There is not a single prime source from that period to back those assertions up. Written sources by Beatriz herself are scant too. I mean, she wrote and she analyzed, but no mention of her as a teacher or as a tutor or as a lady, la doña, or anything like that. Isabel, who wrote extensively on many, many issues regarding her life, makes no mention of this, no mention of anything else, nor do any other chroniclers of the time. The only few who did do so referred to her as a member of the chamber service, or a chambermaid, or a member of her court. In fact, Beatriz herself refers to herself as a chambermaid and never a teacher. She uses the word criada, which can sometimes be translated as maid, but back then it could have meant any type of worker. Now, another factor that has led many people to doubt her role as court teacher was her salary, which appears in official documents. It's much lower than other educators and was actually closer to what a chambermaid would make. So that made that sort of confirmed what other people said and also made people suspicious of what historians and writers would say in the centuries afterwards. Now, most experts today suggest she was a talented and learned woman who most likely formed a part of Isabella's puellae docti, which is Latin for wise or learned girls. So she probably didn't teach anyone formally, but maybe her talent for Latin allowed her to help out her daughters and possibly the queen herself from time to time. That's not unthinkable, and I get the feeling something like that was the case. And she was also certainly an active and influential woman in other ways. She also carried on with social and charitable work for many, many years. In my opinion, her real life was just as interesting as the invented one. Now, as for the La Latina neighborhood, a designation you'll see all over the place in that part of town, well, some suggest that this was used to honor Galindo, but nothing really confirms that. I'm inclined to think that it is true, that it refers to her. There's no doubt about that, really, but only in a more indirect way. The hospital and convent were both very well known. They were around for centuries. They were major institutions in the area, but people called them the Hospital de la Latina, or the Convento de la Latina, because she was the woman associated with those places. So it seems likely that they would refer to the entire area as La Latina, but in reference to the buildings and the institutions more than the person. That happens quite a bit if you think about it. Plus, a lot of people out there in Madrid have no idea why La Latina is called that, let alone who Beatriz Galindo was, not to mention that they were the same person. Anyway, my theory is that it refers more to the hospital and the convent or the monastery that was there, and it does refer to her, but not in a direct way. By the way, La Latina is not an official administrative district. It's a popular name for that area, and it's still very popular today. That said, Galindo certainly had a fascinating life and was a talented woman and an influence in the court of one of the most influential women of all of Spanish history. So that's saying quite a lot. And we at Brian Spain Domain are thrilled to share her story with you because she is a part of history that is certainly worth remembering. And that'll be all for Brian Spain Domain. Please leave us any questions or comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or you can also check out our YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free so you can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.